They were still afraid. Last week, the Bible verses that we had of the resurrection story from Mark was all about they were afraid. And I said, it's all right that we're afraid because they were afraid. But here it is, the same day and then a week later, and they're still afraid. And before we jump to, you know, sometimes we could talk about, well, Mark and John are written at different times and to different audiences, and you can't really take the chronology. And sure, they were afraid, but it's a whole different story, even though it's the same story. We don't have to go there exactly. We can just ask the questions, like, why are the disciples hiding? Was somebody searching for them? What kind of trouble were they in? And how did Jesus get into a locked room? Did he appear just, you know, magically? Was it like, whoosh, and there's Jesus? Or did he really just like knock on the door and they opened the door? They just don't say it that way. They said the door was shut and then he was there. You know, it's exactly how one happened to the next. And here's one. What did Jesus' breath smell like? He'd been dead for a while. You'd think maybe it wasn't so good. Or what's the part about the forgiving sins where it says, if you forgive the sins, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins, they're retained. And then Jesus said, peace be with you, twice or three times. So that's probably important. We talked about it in the children's sermon. And why does Thomas get singled out for doubting? Didn't the disciples like get to see? They didn't even have a chance to doubt. They just got to see. And did Jesus really reach out and touch Jesus' hands and side? And if he did, was it gooey? And what are the other signs that verse 31 talks about? The signs that are written in the book, or not written in that book. Maybe they're written in other books, but they would fill the histories of stuff. And what else is unresolved in here? What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. These are the questions that I don't want to ask today. Blah, blah, blah. All right. So Jesus was with the disciples, and was it a locked door? I don't care. He was there. He wasn't there before. They were afraid. What were they afraid? Well, they were getting tracked down, and they were afraid they were going to get thrown into jail or something like that. And what about the forgiveness thing? I don't have a clue. Maybe I have a clue, but forgiveness is God's thing. You know, God forgives. Now, if we don't forgive somebody, okay, that just poisons us, you know? So if you retain the sins of somebody, it's retained. It's poisoning you. But I don't get that part. I know that forgiveness is God's realm in terms of big forgiveness. And when we forgive, it kind of takes the poison away from us. And was Jesus' side all gooey? Yes, it was gooey. He just had been dead for a while. You know, it wasn't all healed yet. So that's kind of gross. But I don't care really that much. It really, the resurrection matters. But a lot of the questions that come with this passage, like doubting. Everybody doubts. I know that's it's not news, but everybody doubts. Why do we single out Thomas? I don't know. Because he's the one that doubted there. So, you know, you can always write a human interest story about one person's thing, but everybody, you know, if you're sure of things all the time, you'd never research anyone or in anything, or you'd never ask questions. And everybody asks questions. Questions show that we want to find out something a little more, and we have doubts, we have concerns, we have confusions, right? So all of that stuff is pretty basic. But what else is in here? I don't know what else is in here. This passage. I don't want to single out Thomas because everybody doubts. The sin, that's God's thing. The stuff that isn't written in the book. Well, you know, we get the idea from the Gospels about the things Jesus did. And so we don't have to know every single healing story that he did. The important stuff is in there. But I want to think about some things that our faith, this faith that remembers the resurrection of Jesus, what does it make us do? It can make us get scared. You know, faith is a scary thing because what happens when we're moved to do something that seems completely outside? Seems like we doubt that it can get accomplished or anything like that. Or what about when things are big issues? Like in the last 2 weeks, you've been watching the news, Iowa and Vermont. Anything happened there? Iowa and Vermont. And here's a tough thing because, you know, churches aren't of one mind on the issue. You know, in our denomination, the United Church of Christ, they're really, really far to the left on that. They're pretty liberal on stuff. But we've got people in here who are really conservative on that stuff and people who are really liberal, and somehow we're worshiping together and we don't agree on everything. So how does our faith and our doubt affect the way we react to something like marriage equality? If you're liberal, you call it marriage equality. Same-sex marriage with quotes if you're really conservative. How do we find a way to build a bridge between those two opinions and still follow Jesus? That's not easy. And it's an important thing to do because we've got these two rules. Do you remember what they are? Love God and love each other. I mean, those are the two rules. Everything has to flow from there. So what happens in Iowa, what happens in Vermont, what happens in Washington, D.C., what happens in Illinois maybe in the future, we don't know what's going to happen there. What happens with Republican views and Democratic views and all that, we still have to remember that we are people who love God and love each other, and we're not going to agree on all of the issues about things like that. So there's one. That's a pretty important issue. Maybe we'll have a long conversation about that over the course of several weeks or months sometime. I don't know. But that's an issue that's worth talking about. And one of the reasons it's worth talking about is because we can be agreeable when we disagree. We can find ways to live out Christ when we don't agree on things as wedgy as that. I know I just said wedgy during church, but you know what I mean. Wedge-y. Wedge-ish, right? What are some other things? Pam, you have been leading a Bible study in the church for the last 6 weeks and then 7, 8 weeks, really, coming up there. And we've been talking about, you said it was the Green Bible Study. We've been talking about God's care for creation and how we, as people who are, you know, living in God's creation, can care for that. And there are political bombs about that too, right? You know, we've got global warming doesn't exist on one side and global warming is ruining our planet on the other side. And, you know, it's a politically charged issue and a religiously charged issue. And I don't know what we can agree on at that, but I think we came up with some things that we could do during the Bible study time. And Pam, what kinds of things did we talk about during that? Yeah, it's huge.
We talked about green jobs and green homes, and put a poster downstairs that lists all the things you can do individually or as a community. And we decided to start a big recycling program within our community, so that was our big action plan. There's a lot of things we talked about.
We consume an awful lot, don't we? I mean, we consume. What were the latest statistics that I saw? That we are a country that has 6% of the world's population, something like that. Was it 6%? And we consume 25% of the world's resources. So it's not just our carbon footprint. I mean, it's our whole footprint. And this movement about God's care for creation says that there are what we feel like are unlimited resources, and maybe there are, but some of the resources that we use so much are limited. And how does our faith and our doubt affect the way we act as it comes to things that are going on our planet in terms of resources? Or how does our faith and our doubt make us act when it comes to genocide in countries or the AIDS epidemic? You know, in the 1980s, do you remember hearing things like preachers saying stuff like AIDS is God's wrath on humanity because of the bad things that they've done? And there's been a very few people will say that anymore, but a complete turnabout where people say, you know what, we have a disease that is, for the most part, not completely, but for the most part, is controlled in the United States. We've got medicines that are helping people, and people are living long lives when they are infected with HIV and even had started to exhibit the symptoms of AIDS. But we've got problems with the justice in other countries, especially in Africa, where the medicine isn't available because it costs too much. Yet people with AIDS don't have to die just like that. You don't have to have children who are 5 and 6 years old with no parents, no grandparents, because they've all died from AIDS. What is our faith and our doubt in that sense? How does it affect the way we do stuff like that? What other things are on your mind? I know there's something on Anne's mind. Where's Anne? Where'd she go? Oh, she went to the restroom. We'll have to wait for that for a minute then. What other things are on your mind? The things that our faith impacts, which is everything, but what are the big questions on your mind? We can talk about them. Because Thomas had questions. Did Jesus really come back to life? I think he did. So,
God loves the birds and the animals.
God and God's love of creation, like the animals, the birds. And sometimes people say that, hey, you know, when we just indiscriminately kill things, animals, whatever it is, that we're not paying attention to God's love for the universe. But also, we are a community where there's a lot of farmers, and farmers who grow livestock, not just crops. And so, well, that's food. We grow that for food. And then we've got people yelling and saying, you can't do that. And boy, that becomes a sticky issue, but I'll bet everybody has had bacon or hamburger or pork chops or something in the last little while. And so we grow those things, and we have to be responsible about those things. And I don't know the full answer to it, except to say that we are a nation who can grow enough food for us. We can grow enough food for the entire planet, really, if we take the resources and divide them up well. We don't have to consume so much. What else is on your mind about stuff? Yeah, Tammy. Our faith when bad things happen to good people. Yeah. I've seen some people, when awful things happen, they decide that God is not listening, God is not participating, God isn't involved. Why should I even believe? And then other people whose faith gets much stronger when bad things happen. And I don't know why bad things happen. You know, we've come up with answers before, like, well, it's the result of bad choices. And sure, sometimes bad things happen because we make bad choices. Like, I'm driving my car 100 miles an hour and I have an accident. Okay, I mean, that's a bad choice. But so many things happen for no apparent reason. We get diseases for no apparent reason. We have car accidents. We have a plane crashed into somebody's house. The people in the house had nothing. They weren't doing anything. A tornado hits. But how does our faith... All that I can say about that is I can't explain why it happens, but I do believe that in the toughest of times that God is there for our comfort, and God sends people to us for comfort, and we can trust that there is a way through. I don't want to say that there is a reason for it, because that's too easy, especially when people are in the worst of times, to say God has a reason for this. Well, you know what? I wish God would tell me the reason why I have cancer, because I don't want to have it. You know, that's the first reaction to it. Or I wish God would tell me right now, because I could probably live a whole lot better if not finding out the reason. You know, I wish we could know that. So when people are in pain, when people have awful things happen, we can be there for comfort, and God is there for comfort, and I don't know why they happen. It's an incomplete answer, but I think it's the best we can really offer on that. What else is on your mind? Disasters. She asked the question, are the disasters, are they punishment from God? Are they coming from God? Even the insurance companies call them acts of God, right? To describe as things that you can't do anything about. It's a great question, and I don't think that disasters happen because God is angry. A good example was Katrina. I heard preacher friends and preacher non-friends, I guess, coming out and saying that this is, God is mad at New Orleans because of the debauchery there, right? Except, you know, all of these homes of people who are just, you know, regular people, and people in Biloxi, Mississippi, where there's a mission that helps rebuild houses, that stuff was all destroyed. And the French sector, the French Quarter, you know, where all the debauchery goes on, that was fine in New Orleans. They didn't have any problems there at all. It was just kind of surrounded, but the water didn't come in there. So, all right, let's just erase the part that says God sends floods and stuff like that to punish us, because it doesn't happen that way. Floods happen, earthquakes happen. It's, you know, we have this planet that stuff happens on. And I believe that God grieves with us when we are having a bad time and when awful things happen. And God gives us the resource to reach out to people when they have problems like that, when awful things happen, when disasters happen. We have the resources to reach out and to be Christ in the communities where people are suffering. What else is on your mind? Faith and doubt. What does it make us do? Yes? Is doubt opposite of faith? No. There, I can say it just like that. When we doubt, I think we're asking more questions. And I think that there is a faithful doubt. I think that Thomas had a faithful doubt because he wondered. And he was a little bit adamant, I'm not going to believe unless I see it. But we all have faithful doubt. We want to find out more. We're not sure. I mean, don't you ever go through a time, I wonder if God exists? I wonder if it all really happened that way? All this stuff. And we ask questions and we learn. And God works through us because this is a faith journey and it is filled with doubt. You asked a question before, Anne, about can a leopard change its spots? Where is it in the Bible, right?
Yes.
Now, it doesn't relate to faith and doubt so much, but I do want to tell you it's in Jeremiah 13, 23. And the context really is can we do something that is not in our nature? Can a leopard change its spots? It also says, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Which sounds a little bit racist there, but can we change the color of our skin? No. Maybe that gets to some of the other stuff that goes on with the first question about Iowa and Vermont. Can a person born one way be a different way? You know, all those questions. Can all of this happen? But here's the big part that it goes to. Can a Christian act not like a Christian? Yeah, we do all the time, don't we? But the Bible in John 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So you're branches, and what do branches do? They bear fruit. Right? It's just what they do. Now, not during the winter season, but in the spring, there are buds that come out, and then there's fruit that grows. And the branch doesn't do it because it's been told to, or because it read a book that said, you should bear fruit. And it doesn't have the bearing fruit for dummies or anything like that stuff. It just does it. So as Christians, can we go against our nature? We can make mistakes, but our nature is to do good things, to live our lives for God. In Ephesians 2, there's this part that says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. So there's nothing we can do to earn salvation, to earn God's love, nothing we can do. But then it says in the next verse, it says, for you were created in Christ to do good works. So God has done everything for us. God has given us the nature as children of God, and then we react that way. And the hook is, we were created to do good works. So if we're created to do good works for each other, that's what we do. The book doesn't have to tell us. We just do it. Just like a tree bears fruit. We don't go against our nature. Yeah, put that one on the refrigerator, right? I'm not going against my nature. I'm going to do good works. What good works are you going to do? I don't know. There's so much we could talk about. We could keep going there. But, you know, we've pretty much done the time allotted for the sermon. You want to talk more about this? I'm going to put something in the newsletter called Immerse Yourself, a challenge that I want you to go out, and I'm going to have these red signs that say immerse yourself in, like, creativity, immerse yourself in the environment, immerse yourself in all these things. You're going to take pictures of yourself, and either give me the print of it or give me the digital file of it, and we're going to upload it to the United Church of Christ website for this giant mosaic, the Immerse Yourself thing, the Immerse Yourself mosaic. And so look for those coming next Sunday, some poster-like things that you can take a few of them with you and bring them back. They'll be laminated, and you'll be able to do that, and hopefully you have cameras and everything to take those. We can take them around the building. Not against our nature. Our nature is to go out and to do good works and to immerse ourselves in the love of God. And so these immerse yourself things are going to be exciting. So a little challenge coming up. It's kind of like Flat Stanley. You're going to take an immerse yourself sign with you and do something just like, come on, your kids have had Flat Stanley, right? Are there any other projects like Flat Stanley? I think it's pretty much just Flat Stanley. You know what Flat Stanley is? All right, there's this paper representation of a person. and you send it somewhere, or you take pictures of Flat Stanley. Here's Flat Stanley at an amusement park, you know, with me or with my grandma or whatever. And here's Flat Stanley on a spaceship, except that usually doesn't happen. I don't think so. Here's Flat Stanley on a tractor, you know. There was a funny one that I saw that you did. Here's Flat Stanley underneath the steamroller thing or a lawn roller because he's flat. Flat Stanley at the stagecoach stop. Here's Flat Stanley in church. If anyone has a Flat Stanley project that you have in school, bring Flat Stanley to church and we'll take a picture of him right there. Okay? Has nothing to do with the nature, but it does have to do with the immerse yourself and the project that we've got coming up. Are you ready to do all that?
Yeah.
How many of you are going to come up here later and see what I've got written on all those sheets? You think anything? A good conversation today. I encourage you to come to our Wednesday nights for more conversation. Interacting during the sermon, it's an okay thing. You can talk out loud. It's not just in the churches where you shout amen, but you can do that. Give me an amen.
Amen.
See, didn't that feel good? Didn't it feel good to say that? Feels good to say amen sometimes. So just shout it out sometimes at inappropriate times, like when I'm preaching, I might be saying, and God loves everyone.
Amen.
That's an appropriate time. And then I could say something like, and Cain slew his brother Abel. Yeah, see, it'd be an inappropriate time to say it like that, right? Let's pray. Oh, thank you, God, for giving us so many questions, things that we can discuss, ways that we can grow in our faith by learning from one another, by learning from your word, by being inspired by the words you still speak. Bless this time that we've had, and bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name. Amen.